Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla, and it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is Somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person. Today you are going to meet Megan Fisher, who started to dress up like a Sasquatch to invoke and integrate her inner critic through character and dance.
From this work and diving deep into my trauma and into my pain, I found this world of creativity. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my gosh. And I used to love to dance, that I was like, well, I know how to dance and I love expressing myself through movement. And then this whole Sasquatch thing was born. And I just started making music videos around Denver and around in the mountains and then speaking my truth. And I felt safe to do so because I had put a mask on. And that's what I needed, was to have a literal mask on to help me start expressing more of my truths, to feel safe.
Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast. I am your host, Luis Mojica. I was sick and depressed until I discovered that I could make music, and then my whole life transformed because I began learning how to listen more deeply. Listen to life, to the people around me, and to my body. And that's when I realized that the body speaks through sensations, and learning this new language meant relearning my body and mind. I soon healed myself of many chronic conditions and then began teaching others how to do so as well. Holistic Life Navigation combines nutrition, self-inquiry, and somatic experiencing to help you release stress and trauma just by listening to your own body. This podcast serves as a place to share my experiences, as well as the experiences of many others who have healed and are healing through unique, unorthodox, and unusual ways. Your time to learn begins now. Megan Fisher, welcome.
I'm so excited to be here today.
I wanted to have you on, you know, months ago when I saw Chronicles of a Sasquatch. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I saw it right away. I thought, how clever, like how strange and perfect. And it just spoke to me right away. So I just wanted to start with that. Like, what's that about? When did that begin? What has that been like for you?
Yeah, so this whole process of Sasquatch started 2 years ago. And you know, I had this spiritual awakening, and it's almost like I woke up in a job. I was in corporate America and being like, I feel like this robot, like whose life is this? Is this life mine? Like, who created this? And I went on this self-exploration journey of figuring out who I am and what I want to create and how I want to show up in this world. And I really wanted to create a big impact. You know, I knew that felt like some kind of shift was happening in the world and I wanted to be a part of it. And I got into this work called Voice Dialogue, where I got to know different aspects of myself. And I met this part of me that I dubbed my inner critic. And that part ran the show of my life, you know, telling me like, who are you to want to step out and do something big in this world? And that voice controlled, basically drove my ship of my life. And how this whole Sasquatch thing came to be was I tried getting rid of that voice by meditation, affirmations, bypassing it in any way I could. And finally, one day it was like, wait a minute, this is an aspect of me. Maybe I just need to change my relationship to this inner critic. And I love dance. And I was like, why don't I become best friends with this monster, this inner critic? Why don't I dance? Why don't I create with it? And that's how I'll alchemize it into my power. So this beautiful, wonderful thing happened where, you know, that inner critic said, I promise you that if you create with me and become best friends with me, I'll take you exactly where you want to go, not because you got rid of me, but because you used me.
Love it. Love that, because, you know, so much of my, I don't even want to call it marketing, but how I title my work is very much about releasing trauma. And I say that because it's what people understand. It makes sense to them, but it's really about integrating trauma. And when you talk about this inner critic, it's in this monster, you know, I have a name for it called the trauma ego. And so there's this, you know, ego that gets developed, this identity from a sense of threat. And that identity is always looking to prove or expect or imagine new threat. It's very innocent. But when we integrate that part, not just banish it, then we get this brilliant capacity for power. And that was your experience, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. Power and creativity. Mm. And I made this post the other day where I was like, the ego is my muse at this point, where all of the things that come up now that at one point I maybe had shame or judgment, now I'm like, this is a deeper layer into maybe my vulnerability or expressing my truth from a creative and powerful place. So I love that you said it's power. And then for me, it's been then a world of creativity that I had no idea I was this creative woman. I thought it was either some people were creative and some people weren't. And now I'm realizing we're all these creative beings. And from this work, I found my creative power in that.
What I love about that as well, and I always like reflect back with my language just so I can, you know, integrate what you're saying, is the, you know, I say this thing that sounds strange at first, but that trauma is our life force. Because to me, it's like the people that think the trauma is the event, that would sound strange, but trauma is actually the response to the event. So there's this like surge and charge that takes over your body in response to threat, which saves you from threat. And that to me is like, I mean, how much more creative can it get, right? That's pure creativity unleashed, like primal creativity. So when you said power and creativity, that really reached me, because power, great, but creativity is like the expression of that power. And I'm hearing for you, that was brand new, that you didn't have like an artistic creative background. You were in a corporate lifestyle and then suddenly this came through you when you integrated that. Is that correct?
Yeah. I love what you said about that being the response to the trauma. It is like a creative thing that happens. That really hit me deeply. And yeah, the question that you just asked, that's exactly what happened, where I was in the corporate machine for 9 years. And I was feeling like a robot by the end of it. And it was like, well, what do I do? I don't know. I don't have any other creative outlets. This is all that I was trained to do. And then from this work and diving deep into my trauma and into my pain, I found this world of creativity. And it was like, oh my gosh. And I used to love to dance, that I was like, well, I know how to dance and I love expressing myself through movement. And then this whole Sasquatch thing was born. And I just started making music videos around Denver and around in the mountains and then speaking my truth. And I felt safe to do so because I had put a mask on. And that's what I needed, was to have a literal mask on to help me start expressing more of my truths, to feel safe.
I love that. And what were the initial responses? Like, how was that received by people you knew, people you didn't know? What was that like?
So I didn't tell a lot of my friends at first, just my one best friend, who's my biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And her and I, she's my photographer, and we would just go out in the wilderness, take pictures. And it wasn't until I started gaining a following that I was like, I think I hit something here. So I'd slowly start telling my friends, but everyone was on board. At first, they were like, we don't know what you're doing here, but this is fun and this is creative and it feels good. And so, okay, we're on board. And I used to get messages from followers too, saying, you know, I followed you because I was intrigued and curious. And then something dropped after a few months. And they're like, now I see what you're doing. Something feels deeper about this. And that was beautiful to receive.
I think that was my immediate experience. You know, when I don't even know how I found you, because I'm not an Instagram scroller. Like I don't really look at other people's accounts. That's not my problem. Is like I can't stop sharing, but I don't really, you know, I don't scroll very much. But somehow, I don't know if it's because I found you in my list or you just like popped up recommended to me somehow.
I think I sent you a message because you changed my life with all of the fawning. Like I was a fawner and I felt so seen by your post. And I was like, I have to reach out to him and tell him the impact that this has had on me. And then that's when I messaged you. And I think that's when I came into your awareness.
You're right. Thank you for that. I remember seeing like the avatar. And if no one has seen this, you have to go right now, pause the podcast, go on Instagram and type in Chronicles of a Sasquatch. Chronicles or Chronicle?
Chronicles
of a Sasquatch. And you'll see exactly what we're talking about. There's this awesome image of Megan and half of her face is her face and the other half is the Sasquatch, this mask. And you created it or you bought it or where'd you even find this mask?
So I had a dream one time. I went into this hypnotherapy session and we went down into my body and I saw this like monster face in my being. And that was the first time I saw it and was like, okay, that's interesting. And then I was on Amazon one day and it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And what monster, what am I going to do? And the Sasquatch dropped in. So I went to Amazon, found the exact face that I saw in that hypnotherapy session. It was like, bought it. Then I went to Etsy, a woman that makes these crushed velour body suits. And it was like, that's the one. And it came together so seamlessly.
I love that. So you found this, and just for everyone listening, I paused my story because I wanted to hear where you got the costume. But so Megan puts on this amazing costume and there's these brilliant dance videos and there's these great photo shoots and they're so... What was interesting for me, again, like when I clicked on it, because obviously when you see an avatar like that pop up, you're not going to ignore it. So I clicked on it right away and I thought, what is this about? And it's so funny because some people, like when you said some people didn't really get it and then something dropped, I think when you haven't done a lot of shadow work and you see something like that, the first thing is like to laugh or to put it down. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's totally normal response because it makes you a little uncomfortable because it's obviously a part of yourself you're seeing. Yeah. And I've been so in love with the creature in me for so long that I've seen him and her in so many different ways that when I saw your creature, I was like, oh, one of me. It's like, there's my tribe. I get that. So yes. to me, it like hit my heart right away as really like authentic and natural. Not even though there's like some silliness to parts of it, it wasn't like silly to me at all. It felt like one of the most authentic things I've seen in a while.
Oh, that means a lot to me. Thank you so much. Because my journey was, I didn't feel authentic my entire life. And I was like, this whole journey was me trying to find my authentic self. So you just reflecting that means the world to me.
I just loved it. And so then I thought, okay, I'm going to follow her account, read the amazing things you write, and then have you on sometime. And so I love that it's working out right now. So I had asked you how people responded to it. And I'm curious, like, because you do these, what are they, courses or seminars or workshops or calls? Tell us like what the work is with this Sasquatch.
Yeah. So what I am is a voice dialogue facilitator. And what that is I view our ego as multiple different selves. So I like to use this analogy of say like a symphony. So my ego is a symphony and all these different people in chairs with their instruments. Now say a life event happens and we get triggered. Now all of a sudden my anger saxophone decides to take the solo and just completely take over my whole symphony. Now, what my work is to stop identifying with these instruments in our symphony and cultivate the conductor energy, which is our awareness. So something that is aware of the ego, but is not the ego. And it's almost like it conducts with these different instruments. And how can we alchemize them and tone them and use them for our power instead of having them unconsciously take the solo of our life?
Oh, I love that. I mean, again, it's more confirmation of why I resonated with your work, because I'm also a musician, and there's so many times I've used, I write music the way Kate Bush writes music, where it's like I make the song a world for a character inside of me to live in.
Wow.
Right? So when you were saying what you were just saying, I mean, that's literally how I experience composing. Like, the electric piano is for like this queer boy in this song, you know, and then the upright is for this cowboy walking in, and then like this, you know, whatever. It's like they each have a very specific part of me that's coming through the actual composition and the way the voice is used. So that's a beautiful parallel. I really, again, resonate with that. When you're teaching this or when you're facilitating this, are you wearing the costume? Are you not wearing the costume? Like, what does that look like?
No, so I take my work very seriously. So if you are to be one-on-one with me or in a container, I am a completely normal looking woman in my regular skin suit, no Sasquatch. And I lead facilitations, and I'll lead group facilitations, which really is my favorite thing to do, because when we drop down out of the stories and get down to the vulnerabilities underneath all of that, we all start to act as mirrors. And even if one person's having a transformation with me and I'm facilitating that, every single person in that group gets to receive something from that too. So I'm in my complete woman human suit when I lead my facilitations.
That's amazing. And I'm just curious, like right now, where are you in the work? Like where, how is it in your body? How are you shifting? Like what, where's your current, are you offering anything important? Is it pause? Like where are you in this present moment with this work?
Yeah, that's a perfect question, because I feel like I'm in this liminal space, this pause between two worlds. And I feel like I have really alchemized my inner critic almost completely at this point. And this inner nurturing, unconditionally loving mother has taken its spot. And I feel like I'm leaving one paradigm and heading into the next. And I haven't got my footing in either one yet. So I'm kind of just in this beautiful in-between space. And I'm not offering anything currently. I have a group happening right now, but what feels resonant is for me just to take a pause to kind of ground myself before whatever I'm stepping into next feels very different and maybe a little bit bigger than what I have been creating in the past.
That's beautiful. So speaking of pause, this is a good time. And the word liminal, let's take our pause and get our bodies ready, and then we'll come back and we'll do some work together.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Okay, so we're back, and what's going to be unique about this episode is not only is Megan here as a guest sharing the amazing work she does, but she's also here to receive some of my work. So I'm going to listen to her story and where she's at, and she's giving us all the, she's using her courage and vulnerability to share her story so we can resonate with it. Hopefully you'll find some of yourself in it. So Megan, I'm curious if you just want to start telling us where you're at, like what's happening in you that brings you to wanting this work with me right now.
Yeah. So currently what's been happening in my space is, I mentioned this earlier, this inner divine, feminine, loving, nurturing woman is being birthed in me. And I felt like I came into this completion and wholeness within self. And it's almost like God or my soulmate outside of myself was almost like a spotlight was put on a person in my life. And I was terrified about this because where he's at, he's just in his own process. And I'm having to sit with myself and what's coming up of trusting in myself of, did I receive something, or am I making this up? It's almost like that crazy woman story of the oracle that's being birthed in me with this knowing and this devotion and this conviction and this love. And then there's a part of me that's terrified of, am I making this up? What if God's playing a trick on me? Or can I trust the masculine? Can I trust God that this is what's for me? And so I've been in this teeter, kind of going back and forth on these poles of trusting and in my knowing, and then being terrified of, if I show up vulnerably, am I safe to do that? Is it safe to trust the world, the masculine, in that? So I've kind of been in these two different places of going back and forth between trusting and then complete lack of trust.
And then my question with that is, when you say trusting, is it trusting the experience of being open everywhere, or is there a particular person or experience you're trying to trust that you're finding yourself constricting with?
It's like trusting the experience, or trusting God, trusting the divine unfolding of it all. That's what I'm having a hard time trusting, because I'm a shadow worker for a reason, because it's almost like I receive the future, but then I have to work through all of my doubts and everything to get me there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did with Sasquatch. And then now love's involved. And now it's like, oh, this is a whole new, I'm not prepared. I don't think I'm prepared for this.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever done somatic work before?
I have not.
Okay. So this is new for you. That's great. So Let's just notice when you say like, I've never, because you said right before I asked you that question, you said something like I've never gone there, or I haven't done this yet. Can you say that again in your own words?
Like when around, I was referring to like, what was the context
around the trust, around the showing up in that way where you trust?
Yeah, I've kept myself, I had the guise of the independent woman. I don't need anyone. I can do this all on my own. And after a while, I noticed that my body was constricted. Mm. I was in pain because I'm not supposed to do this all alone. And I actually really would like to receive partnership and help. And so this whole world of opening up to this, my heart and to this world, that's very new for me. And a part of me is terrified of doing that.
Yeah, that's the part I'm wanting to hear again. So when you say it's very new for you to have your open heart in the world, being seen, being received, experiencing from that open place, what are you feeling in your body right now when you say that? What do you notice?
I feel some tension in my sacral area. And then my legs feel just like slightly cramped.
Mm-hmm. And what's the upper body feel?
You know, my upper body feels good and clear. I do have awareness of my shoulders though. I like have specific, I can feel my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Good. And let's just go to that sacral area. And with eyes open, it's going to be really, it's going to feel very natural and intuitive to want to close the eyes, but we want to keep them open here so we don't dissociate. So when you feel into the sacral, let's just see what it's like to be with that for like a good 10 seconds to really embody whatever the feeling is in there. And you tell me what comes up, emotion, image, thought, anything.
Like a tightness and a brick. There's a brick just sitting in my sacral chakra on the lower part of it. It feels like a brick.
What's it like to put your hand over that place and give it a little bit of pressure, and just again, not to get rid of it, but just to touch into it a little more? And just tell me, what do you feel, that tension and that brick? Are there any emotions that attach to that, or images, or even memories that feel like that?
Okay, yeah, memory came up.
Are you comfortable sharing it?
Oh yeah. I was around 8 years old, and my cousins, both older men, we were playing with these. I know that you have a daughter, but I don't know if she's old enough to play with these, but it's like these beautiful fairies, and you twirl them in your hand and then they spin up, and it's beautiful. They're beautiful. But we were all playing with them, and we were by my brick house, my townhome when I was growing up. And one of my cousins, not meaning to, flung one of those beautiful fairies, and it went right into my face, and it hit me right in the face. And I was terrified. The thing came flying right at my face. That was the memory that came up.
Perfect. Let's just stay with that for a minute. Even when you tell me the memory, what are you noticing in your body?
I noticed that I just got a little like fidgety of maybe feeling a little like goofy for that memory came up of somebody twirling a fairy into my face.
Yeah. And then so there's that goofiness of kind of like judging and observing the memory. Let's embody the memory and notice as we feel into that brick and we see the memory in our mind's eye, what starts to happen in the body? What happens to that brick? What happens elsewhere? Tell me.
My hands are still on my sacral area, and what I notice is just coolness. It's cool now.
And is that coolness?
Maybe before it was. Before I think it was on the hotter side, and right now it feels more cool.
Beautiful. And now with that coolness, just see what else happens to the rest of the body as you breathe into that coolness in the sacral. Just notice what happens. It can be anything.
My upper arms, kind of like my bicep area, they're just on both sides, low-level shaking. Just a little, just shake. My arms are shaking.
Yeah, let's be with that shaking. And just, again, as we feel the shaking, emotion, image, thought, memory, or just sensation, you tell me.
Yeah, the memories that come up from this. I was around 6 years old, and my brother was 4. And my mother had hot curling irons on in her bathroom right near the telephone. And the telephone rang. And my cute little, innocent, vulnerable, pure baby brother, I told him to go pick up the phone, knowing that he was going to rest his wrist on the curling iron, and he burned himself. And I felt awful that I knew. I kind of like walked him into that. Then hindsight was like, why did I just do that to him?
What are you feeling right now when you say that? What emotions come through?
I almost want to cry.
Yeah. Are you okay with being with that?
Yeah.
Let's just take our time with that and see what comes through. You're doing great.
A thought came up earlier today that if I trusted in this knowing about this man or this love, that my vulnerability would be taken, like somebody would trick me, like God would trick me if I was completely vulnerable to trusting him, that I would be not taken advantage of, but almost like taken, my innocence taken away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you say that again, like my innocence taken away, that statement, where do you feel the statement, my innocence taken away?
In my arms and in my hands.
What does it feel like?
Low level shaking, just a little tremble.
Mm-hmm. And just like we've done, be with that for a moment. And just notice, like, when you feel a low level tremble and shake, what does it want to do? What do the hands and the arms want to do with that? If they were to move, what would they do?
They'd want to shake.
They'd want to shake. And before we actually let them, let's just really let that sensation build up, like that desire, that urge to shake, the charge before the actual shake occurs. Mm-hmm. And let's just zero in on that and see, okay, is there an emotion there? Is there another memory there? Like, what happens before the shake? What's in that impulse?
It's almost like I'm scared and sadness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a heaviness.
Yeah, let's be with the heaviness and the fear and the sadness. Just take our time there. Because, you know, your body is taking us through all these sensations around, I would just call them boundary breaks. And so far, the two memories are male-oriented. and your experience of God is masculine. So you're having this interesting, you know, association in the body. And I just want to see where it takes us. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. So like the one memory, you broke your brother's boundaries by leading him to the iron. And the other memory, your boundaries were broken when that hit you in the face. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you were violated or threatened, but a boundary was broken.
Yeah. Okay.
And these are like the little events that the body holds onto through development that says like, I'm not safe, whether it's I'm not safe for them, like your brother in that case, or I'm not safe with them, you know, in the other memory. Mm. And when I say that to you, what do you feel in your body or arms or hands?
Yeah, it's just that trembling. It's on my forearms. It's down in my forearms to my hands now.
Mm-hmm. And when we're with that trembling, if we were to let it shake, would it be like a low shake? Would it go high? Would it push out? What would they do? How would they move exactly?
I liked when you said like push out.
Do you want to do that with me really slowly?
Yeah.
Put the hands against the chest like this. And let's just, yeah, nice breath, really slowly, like you're pushing somebody away from you. And like pause halfway right there and tell me what you feel.
I feel like this charge on both of my palms, this feels like a charge.
Good. Let's just let that charge build for a couple seconds.
Okay.
And as it builds, what happens in your core, what happens in your mind, emotions, what's with that charge?
Like these butterflies are happening in my thighs and in my legs and more in my thighs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there any emotion associated with that? It doesn't have to be either.
It feels like it's building in me of sadness.
Yeah, let's just be with that like you are. Okay. What does the sadness want to say? Let that come through, whatever it is.
First thing was, I'm sorry. I felt like this is to my brother. Like, I'm so sorry that I did that to you.
Let's be with that, yeah. Take your time. And what do the hands want to do when you say, I'm so sorry? What do the arms and hands want to do?
In this moment, I want to like hug myself.
I was feeling that too. Let's go right into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. And it's when you're hugging yourself and you're feeling that. How old were you at the time?
I was around 6 and he was 3 or 4.
Yeah. So like when you're holding your body right now, like just see that 6-year-old and just hear your apology for her as well, because she's been living with this for a long time.
Yeah.
And just see what happens in the body.
I'm taking deep breaths, and it's not because I'm consciously doing it. It's like my body wants to take deeper breaths right now.
Beautifully put, yeah. How do those deep breaths feel in your body? What do you notice?
Like this, a drop down, like a wash of just peace falling over.
Love it. And let's just like drink in that peace for a moment, like really let it absorb and move and deepen into the body. See how deep it wants to go. And from that state of peace, if the body wants to move or change any positions or anything it wants to do, you just follow it for a moment.
I could feel it. A lot of times my legs feel very flighty and not grounded. And it feels like, when you said drink in that peace, it's like I felt it's all blue water just like filling up my body.
I love that.
And they're filling up my legs right now.
And while you're feeling that, let's really slowly take in the room together. And I like to start by just turning the head over the right shoulder, like really slow, and just taking in every moment as you turn. And everyone listening, same thing. Like, just turn your head over your shoulder and look as far behind you as you can, then bring it back to center when you're ready. And take the same twist on the left. Like, look over the shoulder, as far as your spine and head will twist, and really feel that, and look at the ceiling and the floor, and then slowly bring it back to center and just take in the room. And you tell me what you're going through as you come back to center, what you feel, what's coming up for you.
Well, one, my room is very magical, and I was just looking at all the things and naming everything that I saw. And there was a sense of feeling at home, feeling at home in my space.
Love and, that. Where do you
feel
that?
This space in this, this 10 by 10 room I have, and I feel homey.
Where does the feeling of being at home in the space, where do you feel that in the body?
Kind of in my chest area, my heart space.
And your hand goes right there, which I love. So, like, leave that there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of reflect back to that intention of feeling like you can be open and vulnerable and trust this, like, for you, this divine masculine experience with God. What does that feel like right now? Like, if you feel that in the moment or you imagine that, like, where are you in your body with that experience being more true or closer to you?
You know, I had a feeling that when we were going to get on this podcast and this session, and just the amount of respect and admiration I have towards your work, and I'd been following you a lot longer than you'd follow me, there was this trust that I had of, okay, this is someone I trust, even though I've never met him, that I'll let him guide me through something like this. And right now I feel that trust just all in my heart space and in the center of my body, of just feeling at peace right now.
That is so beautiful. And I love how you said you feel the trust, like in the center at peace. Let's just deepen that one step further. And when you feel the trust, notice if the rest of the body around that heart space is open or if there's any constriction anywhere. You tell me where, if so, where.
I don't know if I feel it's maybe in the arms a little bit. Do I feel tension? And I noticed that when I answered that question, there I heard a voice inside of my awareness that was almost like not trusting me or the words that were coming out of my mouth. It's almost like a distrust in self.
Yeah. And what's it like to just know there's that part of you that doesn't trust what you're saying? Like, where do you feel that part of you?
Right here. I felt something like a little vibration happen right here in my throat.
Perfect. And just like when you sit with that for a couple seconds, just see where that takes you. Like, is there a memory that comes through there? Is there a thought, a feeling?
A memory came up of, again, with my father, who I love my father. But he was telling me a story one day about our neighbor and how they had a pet elephant, and I had just missed it. And he went on for 45 minutes telling me about how I just missed the pet elephant and our neighbors just got. I was so into this story, looking out the window, spending hours like waiting for this elephant to come out before my dad came back after he realized I was sitting at the window for a good amount of time and said, I was just kidding. That was all a joke. None of that was true. And I remember not being angry, but being hurt of, it was almost like I've been waiting at this window for so long for this elephant and the whole thing was not true.
So stay right there. That's really profound. Because there's that part of you that felt like it wouldn't believe what you were thinking or saying or experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it took you right back to that moment, right? Let's just make that connection and see where that goes in your body. There's a part of you from that moment, perhaps, that's a bit on guard about how am I being tricked this time?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see where that goes for you.
what you said, how am I being tricked this time? I felt this knot, this like gulping knot in right in the center of my throat.
Yeah. And what's that like for you? Like that experience and those words, is that like, does that have a lineage for you outside of that one memory? Or is that something just tied to that memory for you?
I don't know. No other lineage or nothing's coming up right now.
That's okay. It doesn't have to. But there it is, like that feeling. And let's just see what that feeling wants to say or do.
It's like now that I keep swallowing, it feels like a dry sandpaper walls and dry, like completely dry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And see what it's like just to take a breath and just one straight vibration. Just see what happens. Nothing has to happen, but see if anything does.
I don't know if anything's happening, but there's being more awareness being brought to my throat.
Good.
I've just always had so much phlegm, just so much, not congestion, but it's always just something going on from my nose down to my throat. Mm-hmm. There's always been just phlegm in part of my body. And when I am swallowing, and after I did that breath out, I just feel on one end like this phlegm that's happening and then dryness on the other side.
I'm just curious, for some reason when you said that, I just heard these words that say, it wasn't my fault, I believed my dad. Like, I just want you to go into that for a minute. And it's not even his fault. I don't want to go there. I just want to feel like I didn't do anything wrong. Rather, I didn't do anything wrong by believing him. See where that hits, if anywhere. I'm curious.
When you said that, it went back down to my sacral area, kind of just shot down my awareness back to that tension that I felt in my sacral area.
And notice what that tension's about. Is that tension resisting those words? Is that tension bringing you into some other awareness? What's that about for you?
I think the initial response, and it was so subtle, but since you just called it up, there was sort of resistance of when you said it's not my fault. There was a part of me that didn't want to believe that or couldn't believe that.
Yeah, let's just notice that part's there. It's important. Because some part of you is holding on to, like, I did something wrong there, or that was my fault, or that's a problem. And so when I ask, yeah, go ahead and take your time.
That has been a theme and a pattern in every single male relationship of when things don't work out, I make it mean something about me. It's because I did something wrong, and that's why it didn't work out.
Yeah, good awareness. Let's just be with that. Yeah. What does it feel like to connect that?
It feels a little, I'm playing with these poles right now in my life of like, a part of me was excited of a little clarity. And then another part of me was like, I still feel like I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark still.
Mm-hmm. And the part that says I'm in the dark still, where is that part, or what's it in the dark about, or what's it feeling?
Like everybody, I'm in the dark. Like everybody knows something that I don't know, or everybody's got something figured out that I don't have figured out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's so interesting to me because, you know, that situation where you're sitting at the window for 45 minutes and your father says, I was just kidding. Like there's no elephant. I have heard these, like the result of that situation, the way it's coming through the body right now, as this like self-inflicted like blame or shame, and then questioning the self. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people in my practice who have that same response from believing in Santa, and suddenly being told there was no Santa. You know, it's these really innocent things. What are you feeling when I say that?
I'm feeling not so alone, and I'm feeling like there are other people that Because the Santa, that's so innocent. You're right. Because that was like an elephant. That's kind of a goofy story of like, how did that? But then when you said Santa, it was like, oh my God, that's just as innocent. And
that's right.
Just something so you would think would, yeah.
That's right. And these are those, I'm glad this is happening right now, because these are the moments of covert trauma, like moments that no one would ever classify as like an event that would get stored in the body. It's a moment of feeling so overwhelmed and threatened by your reality, someone else's reality, your mistake, great shame or embarrassment. Like there's so many different places the nervous system goes. And it's not from malice. It's not from abuse. It's not from neglect. It's from something, like you just said, like really innocent, really normal, that our mind attached to as reality. And we believed it. And then when the reality was broken, we kind of like stopped believing ourselves. Like we couldn't really trust our own reality anymore.
Wow. I very much resonate with that.
What's that like for you when I say that?
I'm just noticing a parallel of my current situation of not wanting to fully trust Dad because I listened to a story and got so wrapped up in it because I was so trusting and so involved with life. And then to have Dad just tell a joke and me take it as, I feel like my innocence, I can't trust because I was sitting at the window for 45 minutes and now I feel dumb and now I feel wrong.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Like these are the moments that are so important to really embody as you are.
Mm.
And notice how that embodied, that sense in that moment, when people hearing this, even colleagues and therapists are going to be like, that's not a traumatic event. Like some of them will say that. But when the body feels so threatened by the loss of a reality, especially relationally, because, but so Dad lied to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or like Dad told me something wrong, or he knew I was believing this and he loved me. This is not to blame your father, by the way. But just that's where we go. It's like a relational trauma. And that's why I brought the Santa Claus in, because so many people have said, I remember where I was. I was in the back of the car and my parents told me, and I remember feeling such shame and guilt and embarrassment that I would speak about this mythological world and they would egg me on. And this is important because that's what we take in that framework, that physiology goes into our development. So a part of you is hypervigilant of like, well, what's real? And it just that just gets developed in there, right? Into the framework of your being unconsciously.
Yep.
And now you're at this place where it's turning in on you because it was your belief that broke that for you. You believed in this elephant that wasn't real. So now it's like, well, can I believe in anything that I believe in?
This really resonates with, I think sometimes when I say things and I do, I have that voice. It's like, do you really mean that? Do you really mean that?
Yes. Yes. So when we have some context for this right now, what's it like just to hold a part of your body, knowing you're holding that part of the body from that experience? Like that's what the body was feeling when you heard the elephant wasn't real. Let's just feel that right now. Like what part of the body wants to be held around that situation?
Well, already my hands are like underneath my sacral, like just on my sacral, both hands. So I think
perfect.
Right there.
Perfect. And what does it feel like as your hands are there and we're witnessing that exact child at that exact moment with that exact situation? And we're saying, I get it. I get why you feel like this. What happens in your body?
My sacral area just feels softer.
Mm.
I don't know if the actual tension went away, but my experience of the area is now changed to more softer.
That's beautiful. And just to drink that in.
Mm.
And even practice as you feel that, like see if the shoulders can go back at all. Yeah, and if the back can really rest into that pillow and just like how that feels, if that feels safe or if that doesn't feel safe.
No, this feels safe.
Beautiful. So I'm going to pause the recording so we can just like land here, then we'll come back and talk to close the session, okay? Okay. Okay, so we're just coming back from deliberating a bit. And you had said something like, it's amazing how all those memories just shot back up. And that's what I love about the body work, the somatic work, is you follow a sensation and the sensation takes you somewhere, whether it's a movement like your hands. And then the movement of the hands brought us to the image and the memory of your young little brother. And then the pit in your stomach, everything brought you to this memory of a relational trauma or some kind of relational rupture or a boundary break that included a man or a boy. Mm-hmm. And so just looking back on that, I'm just curious, any clarity you might have because of that, or do you just want to feel that? You don't have to speak about it.
I think it was just nice, one, to feel seen in my patterns have been, if something doesn't work out, I've made it mean that it's something wrong with me. I need to fix something. And that little parallel that we found, that really hit me of like, wow, that has been an undercurrent of my life. And then how beautifully you're right, all of the memories that came up were in regards to men, either my boundary being broken or with my beautiful baby brother at the time, me breaking his boundary and feeling guilt and shame around that. Mm-hmm. And how not trusting the self with other, or not trusting self when somebody's telling me a story, or when I'm, that it's like everything is all kind of coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said something beautiful. You said that the undercurrent has always been there, that idea of like, mm-hmm. I've done something wrong. I love that, because when I hear undercurrent, again, I hear in the body, and like there's thoughts, of course, that will completely add to that and be born from that. But that is really this physiology that's been stuck from those, you know, the memories that came up today. And then through development, the physiology develops with us, the posturing, the fawning responses, whatever our trauma responses are, they're born out of those kind of unprocessed events. And so your body gave you a beautiful gift today of being able to see those events and kind of understand, oh, this is where some of those core thoughts were born.
Wow.
And they're defensive thoughts. They're thoughts that are defensive to try to protect you from having that kind of rupture again. Mm. But now they've been internalized. Now they come up at you as well.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll notice it. Yeah, I notice it when I speak sometimes. And there's just a question. I got the questioner of being like, are you lying, or is that really your truth right now?
Yep. So one thing I would love to offer you just to close with is to just, as you move forward in this, when the body is going into that physiology of questioning you, and there's really good ego questioning, and then there's like, that complete lack of faith in yourself. There's a difference, yeah. Right? Questioning, yes. Versus like inquiry versus lack of faith. So yeah. When there's that lack of faith and insecurity, and you feel that feeling in the body, see what it's like just to say to your body, I understand you're remembering something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It can follow up with, I'm here for you, or we'll work on it later. Or what are you remembering? But just to know, okay, you're remembering something, and this is reminding you of that something. Because you were shown that today, it brought you right to the elephant and sitting at the window for 45 minutes. When you doubted yourself, when I asked you the question about opening up to God, there was a doubt. There was an opening followed by a doubt, I should say.
Yep.
That expansion that happens when we trust. When we have a traumatized system, that expansion feels threatening.
Mm.
And so it almost like imagines, well, if I'm expanding, something bad's about to happen.
Yep.
Because when you were looking out the window, you were expansive. It's exciting. Where's the elephant? Oh my God, like total vulnerability. And then slam down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I call it like when I feel expansive, it's like there's that part of me that's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And
that's right.
You just said it too.
That's exactly right. I like that you used that. That's a really common phrase. You know, mm-hmm. waiting for the other shoe to drop or what next?
Yep.
And it's just because all these times in our past, and they come up more the more we sit with the body, these traumas or these ruptures happened following expansion. So even like the one, was it your cousins you said? No. Mm-hmm. Like that's expansive. Yeah. You're like laughing and these fairies are flying in the air and then it hits you. So you were open and then you got hit. So it's just the body's way of saying, when I'm open, something bad happens.
Oh,
that's how simple it is. Yes. It doesn't have to be like a giant torture. I mean, some people think, what's wrong with me? Nothing bad ever happened to me. And it's like, nothing bad has to happen. Just these little moments in development can really shift it all.
Wow. Yeah. And you're right. I love how you said it. Sometimes I wanted to go searching for these big moments, but in this, it's just these small things. But to be able to, like, not rescue them, but to have awareness of them and like, integrate them.
That's right. Yeah. Because, and when you said that, the key there is it's not the size of the event, it's what the body did with it. So if it's a really small thing, like seemingly your thing was small, seemingly, the body didn't respond to it in a small way. That's all that matters. Yeah. That's all that matters. And that's why two people with different histories will have different trauma responses. How their body responded to it is what matters.
Wow. So you're right. Just a beautiful fairy coming and hitting my face, but my body flinched and contracted in that. Mm-hmm. But that stuck with me.
It stuck with you. For your mind to take you there when we're doing this work means that your body's still holding on to that moment. Otherwise, you'll start to go back, and you've done this already with your work, but you'll go back to situations and you won't feel constriction. You'll just see them and, okay, there they are. But the ones that still constrict us, those are the ones that did like imprinted something onto the nervous system, if that makes sense.
Mm. Oh. Oh, no, this makes complete sense. I love this.
Yeah. It was really nice sitting with you. You have a beautiful system. It's open. Yeah. You know, you do so much work on yourself and you've paved the way for this kind of work in yourself and for others. So it's a pleasure to sit here and be able to offer some more reflection on your own system.
Yeah, thank you. And I felt so safe. And I knew going into this call, where I was like, there's a level of trust I have with this man I've never met. And I'm so excited. And this was amazing. Thank you so much for leading this.
You're so welcome. For more information on Megan's work, you can visit Chronicles of a Sasquatch on Instagram. You can see some of her amazing art. And it's really brilliant. The photos and the dances and the writing, it's all great. You know, one thing I learned from this session with her in this episode is just the strange intelligence of the body. You know, like when you listen to the body and learn how to follow the sensations of it, it shows you all these places and spaces and times that you're still holding on to in the body. Or I like to say more specifically that your body is still holding on to. Because none of us are consciously choosing to hold on to these events, but they get stored in the body. And Megan is a prime example of someone who didn't experience, or at least the examples that came up from her body, were not severe trauma or abuse or terror even, but they were moments in time that were overwhelming and that caused a physiology of constriction and doubt and fear. And it's important to notice that these little events through our childhood that we don't get to fully address or release, they get stored in our bodies. And then from that sense, from that sensation of storing that charge, comes a story, an identity of ourselves and of our world. And then more charge and more physical gesturing and physiology, more trauma response, more behavior to cope or soothe the charge. So it really all starts with the charge. And from there, our identities develop. When you do this somatic work, you get to get in touch with a charge by embodying it, learning what it's connected to and what it needs and wants, and then you get to start integrating it. And I find the work so empowering because your body is your teacher. I facilitated Megan, but her body gave us all the information that she needed. And that is the wisdom of the body that we get in touch with when we learn how to listen. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. My question for you is, where do you feel the episode? Take a breath and just notice. What's your body doing right now? Sit with it. Let it speak to you. And let whatever comes up, come up. And your only job is to listen. For all the wisdom you need is right inside of you. For more information on my work, including my online courses and healing circles, please visit holisticlifenavigation.com. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, where I share weekly philosophies and resources to help you release stress and trauma from your body so that you can live a happier life. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.